When you were about eight, you suffered night terrors, these awful fits of pure fear.
Welcome back to the Haddonfield Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
And today we're reviewing Insidious, released in 2010, written by Lee Whannell and directed by James Wan. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
Parents Josh and Renee take drastic measures when it seems their new home is haunted, and their comatose son is possessed by a malevolent entity who wants to take the boy over.
So Insidious. Now, I'm a fan of Lee Whannell. You know, he wrote and he acted in the first Saw movie. You know, he directed the that Invisible Man remake. And you know, I love James Wan because I'm a huge Conjuring fan. And because I was a huge Conjuring fan, I never wanted to watch Insidious because I was like, they have the same director, they have the same male lead. It was always given like this is just him repeating what he already did. Like I'm over it. So this was my first time seeing this movie, and I have to say, I was wrong. This movie is not what I expected, but in a good way. Like it was a slow build there for a second, and it almost lost me. But then, like 20 minutes in, I was like, "Oh shit, this is gas!" Like, damn. But what about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on this movie?
I mean, I love this movie. I watched it when it first came out, and I have it on DVD. I have all the movies on DVD. I think when it first came out, it was just so different, you know? And the plot itself is really interesting. I do enjoy slow burn movies. Like, you know, a lot of A24 movies are really good. And I like the fact that, because this movie does contain pop-ups, but I like the fact that including pop-ups, you also get a lot of creepy settings that just kind of like creep you out a little bit, you know what I mean? And I think one of the main things about the movie that also, I think another reason why I made it so popular was because like of the music, you know, like the sounds that they make, it's just not really your regular scary movie music. And it just freaks you out even more. I don't know. I love this movie. I watched this movie a lot, especially when since it came out. I think the whole series, I watched a really good amount. But yeah, I love the series.
What about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts on the movie?
I definitely agree, Maria. Like I like this movie since it came out. I actually did not see this in theaters when it first came out. The first one I didn't get to see. I think I eventually caught it like once it came on DVD, like Redbox or something like that at the time. And like I liked it a lot and made sure to go see the others like after in theaters. But I thought this was a really good movie. And to bring something up that like Maria said, I think what was good about it was like the jump scares were like payoffs, and I guess it's also just a thing that James Wan does in general, where like he'll have the jump scares, but it won't be like kind of like in Ouija where it's like the cat jumping off the counter and it was like fake out. It's like genuinely like something scary was there, and he'll like, you know, linger on certain shots and things like that, and just the way that you know, he crafted this one to be like an original like haunting type of movie was like really good as well, because even though we're still in that era of, you know, remakes and things like that, he did something different with the introduction of like The Further, and it really like grew into its own thing just based off that one idea going like into this movie. And I really thought that it paid off a good while, and the cast was also really good in this movie.
Yeah, the cast is really good. And even like the kid cast, like they were all like on their A game. I loved the scenes. Like again, like once it really started to jump off, it was pretty good. And well, I want to talk about some of the scenes, the good, the bad, the indifferent. And for me, the scenes with I forgot their name, but the tech duo.
Oh
like,
yeah,
Elise's like Specs tech
and,
team.
Specs and I think it was like Tucker.
Yes, like their back and forth was hilarious. It kept me entertained. It kept me good. And when Specs got knocked out, I thought he was gone. I was like, no, don't kill him, please. But it just kept coming back. And I love how Specs was pretty much just downplaying everything, and then Tucker was like, no, this is actually really intricate. Like, this is the most important part of the job. Like, that.
The tech stuff's not really relevant to you guys anyway.
It's all very relevant, actually.
That kept me going. The dad was like, he was annoying me. Like, the scenes where he's like sleeping in the classroom. Like, I know you're stressed out, but your wife's at home with like three kids.
He pissed me off with that.
Yeah, I'm like, she's at home with like three kids, all under the age of like 12 or 11, and you're just gone. Like, two boys and a baby girl. Like, bro, like, what are you doing? And the scene that finally got me, like, I think I was supposed to be emotional, but it just made me go like fucking dumbasses. Like, when he was in the room and he was looking at his son's drawings and he saw the one that was like, I watched myself sleep last night and then I flew away. And then he finally saw like the red face man picture his son drew, and it finally clicked, like, oh, what they were saying was true. Like, I think I was supposed to be like sad and like had emotions for him, but in my head I was like, you fucking dummy, she told you this, like, you're late, now do what the fuck you have to do. And then the part that made me was like, oh shit, I have to pay attention, was when his mom was finally telling them like what she experienced with him as a kid. And she was showing the photos.
In each photo, she got closer. And closer.
And I was like, oh shit. His wife mentioned earlier to his son that they don't have any photos of him as a kid. Mm-hmm. Now it all makes sense. And even that other scene in the kitchen when his mom was like, oh, you actually got him to sit still for a photo? Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is all starting to make sense. So it was just like, it was all like, there were like scenes that were all here together. There was the nanny. I wanted the nanny to be something or have some type of, not the nanny, the nurse. I was like, why is this nurse here? And I got fixated on the nurse, and I was like, the nurse doesn't mean absolutely anything. She's just the fucking nurse. So I was kind of, eh. I will say I would have wanted to see, like, at least I wanted to see something of like Dalton's dreams before all of this happened. Like, I kind of wanted like a build up into that. I got what they were going for, but I felt like there was like a little disconnect to me. Like, I wanted to see him in his dreams when he was just like watching himself or something, like, but I got what they were going for. But what about you, Tuan? Any scenes that stood out, good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, I had a lot of scenes that, a decent amount that stood out in this movie. One in particular that always gets me, which I felt so bad for her in this moment, was when, like, when Renee was, you know, at the house, and after they moved to the second house, and she heard like the little boy running around the house, and she gets to the closet door, and the little boy just pops out the closet, and she's just so stunned locked at that point, and like doesn't know what to do. That like all she could do was just like sit there in awe after what she just saw, like at that point, because like it's they really like was ramping it up to where, you know, and honestly, in like some other movie, it probably wouldn't have been nothing there. But the fact that she just saw it like so up close and like it went past her and everything and her reaction to it, I felt so bad for her in that moment because she couldn't do anything. And it was just like one of those like, damn. And like it actually did get me because I remember when I first watched it, I didn't think nothing was going to like really come out of there. So that was a good one for me. The one like jump scare where the red faced demon's like behind Josh and like his mom sees it, like that's always a good one. People bring that one up even till today. So that was a good one. When Specs and Tucker were checking out the house before Elise came by, and you know they were just, you know, checking the scene, trying to see if it was real, and I believe it was Tucker. He was looking through his little like device, looking at the different like hues of light, and then he got to one and saw like those two girls standing down the hallway, and they just like smiled at him, and he immediately was just like, no, call Elise like right now, like get her on the phone.
Where does that energy go when we're done?
We can call Elise now.
And think probably last two that I remember off the top of my head from this movie that I really liked was when Elise first came through and went to Dalton's room, and she was describing the specs, what she saw in like the corner of the room, and was like draw, and he was like drawing it out on the paper. Like, I don't know why that scene was like really intense for some reason. like the way she was. But the actress Lynn Shea, she's always like really good though in general. And last one was when they were kind of doing the seance all at the table, and then Dalton's just there and like slams his hand down on the table and like messes everything up. I thought that was a really good one as well.
Maria, what about you? Any scenes that stood out, good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, any scenes with like the further I thought were really good, because it's not like, because you know at first you're like, you know, wondering what this is, and everything just looks so different and so like desolate and so cold and so like alone, and I feel like that was a really good thing to do. And on top of that, the scenes where like where you see I guess the ghosts or whatever, and I just thought, because it's not like creepy ghosts or like they're not trying to pop out and like scare you or anything, they're literally just, I mean, I guess the best way to say it is like they're literally like reliving memories and reliving like their, you know, their deaths. And it's just like, I don't know how creepier I can get than that. And I love the fact that like those, especially when he like, you know, like in the movie when the further comes on, like it's mixed scenes of like jump scares and also just like creepy settings, you know. I think when Josh is talking to like one of the girls, and like, I think it was like the mom, and he's like, "Where's my son?" And like, everyone's frozen, you know, and you're just like, "Okay, is it just like, are they just not moving?" And then she blinks, and you're like, "Okay, no, like they can move. They just, I don't know. I mean, you're like, I don't know what they're doing at this point." Those were good. The scenes, honestly, the scenes with any of the other ghosts are good, because it's like, I feel like a lot of them are also very, like, unexpected. And I really enjoy the music that comes with it, because you're just, it just freaks you out even more. Also, the scene where, like, you know, Josh finds Dalton, and you see the demon, and the demon is literally just, like, having a good time listening to music and like sharpening its claws, and you're just like, what the fuck, you know. It was just not what you expect, you know. I guess you expect like death and like gore and like, you know, creepy things, but this guy literally, or not this guy, this demon is literally just living his life, getting ready to kill this little boy, or take over the little boy. Which also the scenes with I think when Elise first came to the house, and like, you know, I don't know, I like Elise. I also do like the crew. I think they're very funny, and I feel like they're very good together. But like, yeah, the scene where I think you mentioned it, Tawan, with the seance scene. That scene was super creepy. Because everything is just like there's a lot of stuff happening, but at the same time, you missed a lot of stuff that you just didn't catch, you know, while it was happening. And the scene where, like, I think where the mom describes her dream, that was creepy too, because it's like you see this demon, this thing in the corner, you don't know what it is. And it's like it has long claws and it's like pointing at this little boy. And then she sees it, because you're just not expecting that, especially like during the day. Which, to be honest though, I don't know if this is like the James Wan thing, but it's the same thing in Insidious. But like the demons just don't look scary. They literally just look like guys dressed up as demons. And it just like puts me off a lot, I guess. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know what I'm expecting, obviously, but it was just, I expected more, I guess. But I mean, I guess it also kind of goes with the whole, like, the whole aesthetic of the movie. You know, they don't do over the top scary. They do, you know, kind of like minimal, but it works. Also, this scene where Josh confronts like the lady in black or whatever her name was, or their name was. It's like, bro, like you're so close. Leave, like talk to her later. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why are you, first of all, you let your son just run away. Like, what if something catches him while he's, like, able to, you know, I don't know, whatever. That scene frustrated me, because it's like, you did not have to do all that. You did not have to talk to her. Though the ending did get me, though. I was not expecting that. Like, I remember watching it in theaters and, like, just being like, what the, like, what just happened? Like, you thought everything was fine. Everything was cool. Everything was so dandy. Just for it to turn out that, like, you know, it's not all fine and dandy. I thought that was cool. Also, the scenes with, like, the pictures. And, like, you can literally see this lady get closer and closer and closer to him. I don't know. Like, I thought that was pretty cool. Because it just looked kind of like, it just seemed very like realistic, you know? Well, to me it did. And I thought it looked, I don't know, like it was creepy. Cause like this whole time Josh is like, this isn't real. Like you guys are just, you know, like you guys are overreacting just for this whole time to turn out that, you know, he himself had gone through something similar. And, you know, even though he doesn't remember, like doesn't change the fact that he, you know, he went through the same thing. And I know that, Mark, you had mentioned how you kind of wish that, like, we got more of, like, Dalton's side. But I think that's why they moved in the first place, was because they were having a lot of issues with, like, spirits, I think, in the last house. And they thought that it followed them. But really, the whole time, it was Dalton astral projecting and these spirits getting closer, you know, because they knew, like, what he was doing. And I thought, I mean, that's, I assumed what I mean, the other, oh my God, that's what I thought was going on. And that's what I thought, that's why they had moved. You know, I guess it was kind of Dalton's fault. and I also liked the beginning scene, because you kind of just, you assume it's Dalton, like you assume it's, you know, one of their kids, but really it's Josh. And it's, I think it's supposed to be Josh like astral projecting, which I thought was a really cool touch.
Nice. Well, there aren't any kills really, except for one, which I honestly did not see coming. It was a bit of a twist when he choked her. I was so confused, and I was like, what the hell? They just killed her. What were your thoughts, Maria, when you saw that for the first time?
I mean, because I don't know, you kind of like that, because the way James Wan had set it up was you just assume everything's fine. And, you know, he plays happy music and everybody's having a conversation. Renee's joking around with her son, you know, and with, I forgot what Josh's mom's name was, but like everything seems cool. Elise is over there, you know, having a good time too. And then suddenly things just take a turn.
Why would you do that to me when you know how I feel about that?
And you're just like, what's going on? I don't know. I was just, honestly, I was not expecting her to die. I thought it was a fake out. So I was very shocked.
Tuan.
Yeah, I definitely didn't expect that either the first time I watched it. And I'm sure if what I think the reason I like it is because if we didn't continue or make anything past that point, I would have been fine with it, which I feel like that's what James Wan did. I feel like him and the people, they went into this making the one movie because they do a lot of retconning in the next ones to like not retconning really, but like, you know, trying to make it revolve around Elise. But and they do it the best way they can and like going back and stuff, but they definitely would have benefited from her alive, so I feel like it was more impactful for like her dying, because you know, she was really like the only one who kind of knew what to do in this situation, and without her we see in like in the next one and past it, like the effects that really has on the rest of the movies and whatnot. But I definitely didn't expect it when I first watched it, and like just seeing that, and then like the last final scene where after the picture is taken and you see like the old lady over like Josh's body, like that was crazy.
I held off because I wanted to bring it here, but when they do the flashback and she looks at him and she just like slowly picks up that camera and she snaps it, and then you see the old lady, and then she just lunges at her like, oh damn. And like James Wan had to know he was going to do a sequel, because the ending is just like, it's Renee looking at the photo and screaming, and then it just like cuts, and I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, what? It's like, there has to be more. You can't leave this movie on a cliffhanger like that. And then make people wait 2 years to see what the hell happened. Like, that would have been torture for me. Like, I don't know how people coped. But let's move on. Let's move on to the character section. Let's talk about Tucker and Specs.
Where is Elise?
She sent us ahead to do some preliminary tests.
Helps weed out the nut jobs.
Tuan, what are your thoughts on Tucker and Specs?
I like those two. I definitely thought they were a bit needed, because, you know, you always need just the slightest amount of relief in, like, a horror movie, because, you know, even if it's, like, the darkest of comedy or whatever, just even that slightest relief, like, gives that little give or take that we get when watching, like, scary movies and stuff. And they were a good mix-up, but also, even though they were, you know, kind of like the more comedic element of like what we had here, they weren't like useless. You know, sometimes, you know, movies will do that thing where they'll have like those characters like Specs and Tucker, but they're kind of useless and don't really help. But they actually like were very helpful in what they had to bring to help Elise and, you know, try to go through and see if what was actually happening was happening, which is a smart thing, because even Juan did use the same thing in The Conjuring, where they had like someone go to the house before they brought the Warrens, and he basically did the same thing in this one, where he had like Specs and Tucker check out the scene before they brought Elise in, which I mean is like a smart thing to do in the universe context, because, you know, this, some people, you know, feel like they see that type of stuff all the time. But back to the actual characters, I thought they were good. The two actors was funny, and it's like it's always funny to see one of the people who actually work on the movie in the movie, as far as like Lee Winnell goes. So I thought that was cool as well.
What about you, Maria? Any thoughts on Tucker and Specs?
I mean, I like them. I liked how, you know, technically they were supposed to be like comedy relief, but they just vibe really well with like Elise. And I also feel like they're also like really important to the plot. I feel like a lot of the times when movies come up with like, you know, comedic relief characters, I feel like most of the time you don't even really need those characters there besides, you know, besides the laughs they give you. But I feel like they did a really good job of like, you know, because Specs, you know, he's the guy who like draws, and he's the guy who, you know, writes down Elise's thoughts, but those things are super, super important. Whereas Tucker, you know, he does the high tech stuff, you know, which is when he sees those ghosts, and he's like, you know, and it's just really nice to see like Elise also interact with them. I don't know, they're just a really funny like trio, and I really, really enjoyed having them in the movies, and I feel like it brings a lot of like, I guess, human to the movies, if that makes any sense, you know, because Elise is already used to this. The families are still trying to, you know, understand what's going on. So I feel like Tucker and like Specs do a good job of, or I think they do a good job of putting the family like at ease or feel kind of validated in the way that they feel, you know. So I like them a lot. I'm glad they're in the movie.
Yeah, they were a much needed comic duo relief that I didn't know I was gonna need. Like they kept it going, and it was funny. Like Specs on the kitchen counter, just like using those people's meat to fucking like nurse his wounds. Like, why are you putting these people's food on your face, sir? Like, what's happening right now? But it was they were pretty funny. They were good, and I can see how they work well with Elise. Like it definitely helped having them there. It also kind of made it more realistic, like that she just didn't show up herself, that she had like a team go to like make sure she isn't being BS so she won't waste her time. It just made it all seem more official and less like it could be a scam, because she actually had people actually going there to do the due diligence for her. But Maria, what are your thoughts on Lorraine, Josh's mom?
I came today because last night I had a dream about this place.
I mean, I liked his mom. I like how she's basically like the connection between, you know, Josh and his family and Elise. I like how, you know, she also gave us tiny clues about, you know, Josh and his whole, you know, not wanting to be photographed thing going on. I like how, you know, she brought the pictures. I don't know. I mean, I like her. I also don't have any strong feelings towards her. I can see why she was important to the movie, but like, that's kind of like where it stops. I don't really like, you know, honestly, to me, she could have been anybody else, and I don't think it would have mattered.
Tuan, what are your thoughts on Elise?
I loved Elise. I thought she was a great character in the movie. I think the thing I like most about Elise's character is that she was able to be kind of like that friendly, like older, like womanly type of, not womanly, motherly type of person, but also like when it was time to like get into her element as far as involving the further, using like her abilities and stuff like that, like she was like super like into it and was like a lot more tactful in the way that she like was approaching the situation and such, which, you know, goes to the fact that she's one been doing this for like such a long time at this point, but also even though Josh doesn't, though she has like a familiarity with him from the past and what like is going on with his child and how like this leapt off of him and is now affecting Dalton. And I think they did really good with that like dual type of thing with her, and just like how good she was at what she was like doing with them, and not like trying to like, you know, give up or making them seem like the problem was like small or anything. She came into the situation, knew what she was doing, told them the ifs and or buts, what they got to do to get the situation done, and that would have been the end of it had Josh and I went off the beaten path, but she came in and did what she had to do and got Dalton back.
What about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on Elise?
I mean, I like Elise. I really like how she gives off a really like comfortable vibe, you know, which I feel like was really necessary for her, you know, to do her job the way she's supposed to. She just seems like very wise, you know, throughout the whole movie. She just spoke with such confidence, and you're like, you know, it, like if it was a sham, like she would have gotten me so good. I would have been like, yes, you're so right about everything you just said. But I like her a lot. And I was shocked that they killed her like in the first movie. I was just really not expecting that. But I liked her. I mean, she was definitely really important, you know, to the movie, but also to, like, the whole series in general. I like how they made her... Well, I mean, I guess they kind of made her, like, a... kind of, like, your typical psychic, but also with, like, a touch of, like... hominess, because you know, like in the beginning when you first meet her, they open the door and she's just like, oh, I didn't know if I should knock, ha ha ha. You know, where most of the time they have them come in and right away start working. You know, you know what I mean? Like, when they have a psychic come in and the psychic is like, yes, I feel a bad energy. Whereas with Elise, you just feel more connected to her because she's like, you know, this is just another day for her. So she's just walking through pretending that she doesn't see the ghost in the corner or whatever. So I like her. I really like her vibes.
Tuan, what are your thoughts on Renee?
Man, Renee. She was holding it down way more than I could have. Like, she was holding the family down in this movie.
I just want to say, outside of the ghosty shit, I would have left his ass. He had one time to leave me at home with three kids. I'm leaving you. Like, get the fuck out of here. And when she threw that bloody sheet on him, she was like, well, figure this out. I was like, you go, girl.
like, oh my God. Like, Renee got the works, like, in this movie. Like, the stuff that she seen and heard. Like, that one scene where she was, like, I think doing laundry by the stairs, and she heard the baby monitor, and she heard, like, the voice go through it and everything, just, like, whispering, like, I think it was, like, I'm gonna take him, or something like that, or I want him, talking about Dalton, and, like, it was just so much that she had to go through, and I'm just surprised she made it to the end without, like, cracking, like, as hard as I know, like, if this was, like, actually happening. And like, to me, like, I would have cracked immediately. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, I couldn't deal with that. Like, she was way stronger than the rest of them. But the actress did really good, which was interesting to me because, like, at least to my, like, not just my knowledge, but like, I've really only associated the actress Rose Byrne with doing like comedies and stuff. So when I saw her in this, like, especially her having, like, you know, taken a brunt of a lot of the spooky stuff happening, it was just like, oh, damn, like, she's selling this right now. Because I was just so used to, I've just been used to her doing things like if I recall, I think she was in like Bridesmaids, like Neighbors, stuff like that. And I was just kind of used to her like being in those type of movies. So this was like a different change of pace to see her in. And she did really good here. And like she put in the work. Like when, at the beginning, when she thought it was like the house being haunted, she's like, we are moving now. And they had a new house. I mean, that didn't work, but you know, she was trying to make an action plan to like try to figure out what's happening or what's going on.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Dalton?
Whoever cast those kids did like a really good job at that. I mean, I guess Dalton was technically just supposed to be like a younger version of the dad, you know, where he's over here astral projecting. I mean, we don't really get much of him since, you know, he's in a coma for most of it. But, like, I don't know, man. If I was a kid and, like, I'm suddenly in that place, like, I would have been so scared. Like, that place is so dark and so cold, like, and so creepy. I don't know how the hell he made friends. But I guess he did. So that's one brave little kid, because I would never. But I mean, other than that, I don't really have any strong feelings or opinions towards Dalton, especially since like we don't really get much of him, like of actually him throughout the movie. But I mean, he's important, you know, I guess.
Well, Maria, what are your thoughts on Josh?
I mean, like, I agree with what you guys were saying. Like, he was just like a very absent dad, I guess. I think in the beginning, you see Renee trying to, like, she's unpacking boxes. She's on the phone with, like, customer service. And I think she'll, like, ask Josh something, and he's like, oh, what? I don't know. And she just, I'm sorry, she looks so stressed because she's trying to take care of three kids, and he's just over here like, oh, I'm late for work, blah, blah, blah. And then he just leaves, and it's like, sir, I don't know. I mean, but I guess it's not bad, you know, could be worse, I guess. I liked how, you know, in the beginning of the movie, he seems so strongly opposed to everything, which, you know, makes sense. You know, like, their kid's in the coma, and I'm pretty sure the last thing you want to hear is about supernatural things. I mean, he did what he had to do. He went into the further to get his child. Though, again, I don't understand why he had to confront the, like, the lady in black if, like, he could have just left, man. He was so close. Like, I don't know. I would have dealt with that shit later. Like, your first priority should be getting the hell out of there with your kid alive. Like, he didn't even make sure Dalton was fully out. He was just like, let me talk to this lady right here really quickly. And I mean, I guess, but I don't know. Cause I mean, for most of it, he was just kind of, I mean, he wasn't invalidating Renee. He did move houses for her. And there was a scene where he like talks about that. And to be honest, I don't know why, but I really, really, really like that scene. You know, because she's like, you don't believe me. He was like, I moved houses for you. And I was like, okay, maybe you're not that bad. But, you know, I mean, I like him. I really like the actor. I liked how he was different, you know, because he's in The Conjuring and how those two characters don't really overlap. And yeah, I mean, I like Josh. I know he has his faults, but it's not his fault. he has his flaws, but who doesn't? But, I mean, he, I guess, changed towards the end until, you know, until he decided to confront that, the lady in black, and all that stuff happened. But yeah, I mean,
Tawan, what are your thoughts about the lady in black, or the old woman?
Yeah, I don't think I have much thoughts on the lady in black, at least for this movie. Definitely will come more into the second one. But I did like the like concept of the Lady in Black and how it like eventually came back, you know, towards the end. Because, you know, just watching the movie the first time, they gave us the story of the Lady in Black and how it was like following Josh, like when he was younger, eventually getting closer and closer to him in pictures until his mom, Lorraine, called Elise. And, you know, they made it seem like they took care of that situation like a while ago. And that wasn't something that could happen again. Now we get to the end of the movie and we see that, because of like the whatever Josh did when he was in the further confronting the Lady in Black, now that whole thing is like happening again, and it impacted the rest of them because now Elise is dead and Josh is fully being like taken over by the Lady in Black. So just the fact that, you know, that little part like came back on like a full circle type of thing was really cool the way they went about that, because it could have honestly, you know, in someone else's hands, could have just been like a throwaway type of thing that, you know, was just given to add a little context and not come back. But because it did, it was really good how it happened.
What are your thoughts on the lipstick demon?
I really like the character design of the lipstick demon. Like, it is like scary to look at. Like, if I saw that in the corner of my room, probably would not be here. But yeah, I did like the character design of it, and also I like, which I want to like re-brought this up earlier, just how kind of carefree the lipstick demon was. And and when he was in his little room, he was just having a little grand old time down there, like messing with Dalton and like keeping Dalton trapped up and playing with his little machinery and whatnot. So I thought that was just kind of funny as well to see. And aside from that, though, I don't think I don't have much else to say. Although on the lips, like the lipstick face demon, because if I recall, there wasn't as much kind of like background given on him, like compared to what we get, you know, a little bit later in the second movie about the old woman in black and stuff like that. So we'll definitely see, and we'll probably, you know, get a little bit more for what's to come soon with Insidious.
Maria, any thoughts?
I don't like the design, to be honest. It just, to me, it just seemed too much like a guy dressed up as a demon, you know? I was kind of expecting more, especially the way the movie was playing out. Just something, I don't know, something a little bit more creepier. It was just too much like, like those like half goat, half man. I forgot what they're called, but it's like a
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forget the name to. I wanted to say centaur, but that's not right.
No, but it's something similar. Like, it reminded me too much of that.
And a minotaur?
No. No, it's like a, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, the point is that the design reminds me too much of that.
It's a fun.
Yeah. Like, it reminded me too much of that, you know, and it kind of took away the whole, like, you know, this is the demon behind everything feel, and it's just kind of like, oh.
It was giving me Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, wasn't it? And I liked the rest of the movie. I just wish, like, that's literally the only thing that kind of, like, this movie falls a little bit short, was that like the demon just wasn't creepy enough for me. I guess it's too human. I don't know. But I guess because I feel like you don't fully grasp what the demon wants, you know, because the demon is like, you know, I mean, I guess it's trying to get into Dalton, you know, I want to take over his body. But like, I think, from what I'm aware, is that it has you know, because it lives in that red door, and you're just like, what is this red door exactly? Like, is it supposed to be hell? And then it's like, you're wondering if, like, the people in that house, especially, I think, like, the man, the one who attacks Renee, if he's, like, just another spirit, or if he's supposed to be, like, or if he's just a spirit that, like, the red demon controls. I don't know. I mean, I just really like the scene where, like, the red demon is, like, you know, he's listening to music, he's vibing, and he's, like, sharpening his claws, and he's just having a grand old time. I don't know, I really, really like that scene, because you're just, like, I don't know, it was just so unexpected, you know? And it was just, like, I don't know, but point is, though, is I wish the demon was creepier.
Yeah, I feel like for me, when they were rarely showing him is when it was at its most effective. But the moment you're able to get like a full view of him, especially in a sequence where Josh is in the further and he's fighting with him, it kind of just, I was like, you don't look as scary as you did when you were in the shadows. Like, if I was Dalton's age, or if you were actually chasing me, I'd be afraid. But like, just watching you do your thing, I'm not really terrified. But he was effective. You know, he was... Even though he was the main one we were focusing on, when you watch the movie and you get to the end, it's like, oh, he wasn't really the big bad. He was just like the distraction until we got to the old woman, because pretty much that's who took over. So, well, that's how I felt about it anyway. But we've come to the end. But before we get to our review, Tawan, can you give the people the behind-the-scenes info and facts?
So, Insidious was made on a budget of $1.5 million, and it brought in about $100.1 million. Goddamn, no wonder they made the sequel. As far as some critics' reactions go, the film currently sits at a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. Roger Ebert gave the film 2.5 stars out of 4 and wrote, "It depends on the characters, atmosphere, sneaky happenings, and mounting dread. This one is not terrifically good, but moviegoers will get what they're expecting." The New York Times wrote that the strongest analog for the second half of Insidious is one that the filmmakers probably weren't trying for. It feels like a less poetic version of an M. Night Shyamalan fairy tale. Rolling Stones commented, "Here is a better than average spook house movie, mostly because Insidious decides it can daunt an audience without spraying it with blood." The Boston Globe wrote that the film begins with promise, but the crazy train of Insidious runs fully off the rails when the filmmakers go logical, and some of the strange gets explained away as double shot of demonic possession and astral projection. Associated Press stated that Insidious is the kind of movie you could watch with your eyes closed and still feel engrossed by it. And the Wall Street Journal explains what makes a movie scary isn't what jumps out the closet, it's what might jump out the closet.
Well, what about us? Maria, Tawan, do we cash or pass Insidious? Maria?
I mean, I cash. I have the movies on DVD. I really like the movie. I watched it a lot. it's a good movie. I mean, I definitely recommend it.
Tawan, do you cash or pass?
Yeah, I definitely cash on Insidious. I think it's always like a fun like watch. Like, it's one of those like movies where it's low stakes enough where if someone just watches the first one and like, you know, they're satisfied with it, that it could be just a good like one-time watch. But it's kind of one of those where if you show someone the first one, they'll most likely be interested in seeing the next one, which, you know, goes to show like tales like of a good movie because they want a bit more. But yeah, I definitely would give it a cash. It's definitely a fun one. I'm looking forward to the upcoming sequel. And yeah, I can't wait to discuss that.
Yeah, this is a cash for me. Like, this is my first time watching this movie. I hadn't hadn't ever seen anything about this movie. I didn't watch any trailers. I didn't listen to any podcast reviews. I didn't watch any YouTube clips. So I went into this completely blind. Only thing I knew was that James Wan directed it and that Patrick Wilson starred in it. Like, other than that, and well, I knew that that kid who was in Jurassic World was in it. But other than that, I didn't know anything about this movie. And, well, I knew that Lin Shaye was in it because, you know, her brother is the one who was the head of New Line and who was making all the damn Freddy movies. So I knew about her, but other than that, like, I didn't, went into it blind, and I was surprised. And this was a good movie. Like I said, it almost lost me, but then once it got going, it was going. It was good. It was gas, as Tuan says. So it was a fun ride, and I'm excited to watch the rest of the movies. Like, I think this is like the second time, other than when we did Wreck, where actually no, this is the first time, but we're doing a retrospective series where I haven't seen any of the movies. So I'm excited for next week. We're doing Insidious Chapter 2. Again, I have no idea what to expect. I'm hoping that the cliffhanger will be answered. I'll be mad if it doesn't. I'm excited to see what's happening next. And I'm excited that we're finally on another like franchise review. This is our first one of 2023. You know, our last one was the Jason Freddy, and that ended back in January. Now here we are in June kicking this off. So I'm excited. Hope you guys are excited too. Well, this is Maria and a franchise that Maria and Tuan like, so I'm excited. What about you two?
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I did like the second one, so I'm excited. Gives a little more backstory for Josh's demons, and just overall excited to get to what the new one is going to bring us, because it's not being directed by James Wan, and Wilson is doing it, so interesting to see how he handles that.
Now, both of you have given me different hints about the third one. Now, I don't want to be spoiled. We'll get there when we get there, but it kind of has me anxious and excited and also wary, because both of you have given me different opinions on the third one. So I'm here for the whole roller coaster. I hope there's only four movies with the fifth one pending. I can't wait to get to that one. Hopefully, I'm like a diehard fan by that time. So, hope you guys are ready to go on this journey with us. Thank you so much for listening. Good night. If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horror's on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Tuan Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?